I didn't know that God wanted an apple pie. I just learned that this morning. Wow. What have the brothers been sharing with you? I gotta find out more of the messages. God wants an apple pie. Who shared that? Oh, that was Faith, right? Faith, please explain to me about this apple pie. Can you say something? I kind of got it, but... Can you tell me something? Stand up. Let's talk. You and me, let's talk.
So God wanted to make like an apple pie, which was basically the church.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could I interrupt you? Yes. Did not like most of the brothers introduce themselves?
Yes.
At the beginning?
Yes.
My name's Ricky. I think probably most of you know, but some of you are in 6th and 7th grade. You may not know that. Hi. Hi. Okay, so go ahead.
And so, yeah. Just means that we weren't an accident, that we were supposed to be created.
Yeah.
We were meant to be before time even began.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
Good job.
Good job, right? Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. Did you open to page 38? And did you take out your lesson book? We're going to read a lot from the book this morning. So you need your outline on page 38. And the lesson book, please. Hey, look at the outline. I have the shortest outline. Too much, huh? Too much. That's why we're going to make it up with it. We're going to read a lot in here. This is the shortest outline. Some of the brothers, their outlines was a page and a half. I have the shortest outline. 5 points. Five little points, huh?
That means that people want to hear you.
Oh. Is that what that means? Well, we'll see. Okay, 5 points. But let's read the title to this session 13. You all with me? Everybody got it? Oh, where's your booklet? That's what I'm talking about, the outline. Page what? What page is this? 38. Page 38. Where's your booklet? Take that off your ears. Don't do that during the meeting. Okay? Okay. So you're looking on, you're sharing. You got to share. You're sharing. Okay. Take care of your brothers and sisters. Okay, page 38. Let's read the title.
Young people for the building up of the church.
Again.
Young people for the building up of the church.
Amen. Hey, Michael, where's your book? This one. Page 38. Let's read it one more time.
Young people.
Amen. Okay, now take out your book. And I want you to turn to the table of contents, which is at the beginning of the book. The table of contents. Not later. We're going to turn to this first. The table of contents. Find our lesson. Young people for the building of the church. What number is that?
22.
Yeah, we're up to lesson. There are 24 lessons in this book. And this morning we're up to lesson 22, which means we've covered what? Actually, not. You've covered only 18. We skipped over 3. That was a trick question. Because I knew that you didn't know that. And I knew that I was the only one in the room that actually knew the answer to that. That's what you call a trick question. The serving ones could have known, if they had like been careful and looked at the table of contents and seen that we skipped over lessons 8 and 9. And one more. I forgot which one right now. 12. We skipped over 8, 9, and 12. But I want to read with you. Let us read the table of contents. These are the lessons that you learned. Or I should say, these are the lessons that were taught.
Amen.
Because I don't know if you learned it or not. They were shared. They were spoken. But how much you got, no, I don't know. Maybe you don't even know. We'll see. Okay, let's read Numbers 1 and 2. Go.
The vision concerning the church. God's purpose for the church.
That was your lesson 1. That was your lesson 1. Wow, that was shared. That was shared a week ago. That was last Friday morning. Last Friday morning. I don't know if you can remember that far back. Okay, number 3, go.
The status of the church.
What?
To be the house of God and the kingdom of God.
4.
The status of the church.
Two.
The body of Christ.
Those two lessons were your lesson number 2. I should say outline number 2. That was when? Wow, that was last Friday night. Last Friday night. That's what you were taught. Let's read the next 2. That's Numbers 5 and 6. Go.
The status of the church, God's masterpiece, the new man, and the counterpart of Christ. The status of the church, the golden lampstands.
All of those from number 3, 4, 5, 6, those are all on the statuses of the church. That shows us all the different ways God views the church. What is the church to Him? The church to Him is, right, a masterpiece is one, it's the body, it's the family, all sorts of different things. Okay, what's next? Let's read number 7. The two aspects of the church, universal and local. Yes. Actually, you had that last Saturday. Oh, that was the blackout day. That was the memorable day. You had that. And then we added another lesson that's not in here, that's taken out of lesson 7, on the ground of the church. You remember that? The ground of the church. Okay. Then we skipped over 8 and 9. We skipped over 8 and 9. Let's read 10 and 11, because that was a combined lesson as well. That was, I think, on the Lord's Day. I think it's your number 6. Let's read that.
The failures in the churches, the degradation and recovery of the church.
11.
The 7 churches in Revelation signify the 7 stages of the church.
Oh, I remember for that one, I came in here after you had that lesson and there was a diagram. There was a map over here. There's a map, remember that?
Amen.
Of what part of the world? Turkey, that's right, Turkey. Turkey, the country, not Turkey, the bird. Turkey. And then on this side, there was like a line with this way, that way, and all that. I remember that. Okay, we didn't share with you lesson 12. But we did 13 and 14 together. Let's read those two. Amen. And in that lesson you were told that all of you need to function. And your function counts in the body of Christ. That's why I appreciated the sisters sharing over here. Everybody shared, even just shared a little bit. That builds the body. Because we get what you enjoy of the Lord, we get it. Even we don't understand everything, we still enjoy your spirit. Like I didn't get the apple pie thing. But I enjoyed your spirit.
Amen.
Enjoyed your spirit. So you build by giving the Lord to each other, by sharing the Lord with one another. That was wonderful. Let's read the next two. 16. What is it? 15 and 16. Go.
The building up of the body of Christ in oneness, and the increase and spread
Amen. Oh, then 17. This was, I think, two nights ago. Go.
The meetings of the church for the building up of the church.
And that was together with 18.
The prayer ministry of the church.
Amen. The prayer ministry of the church. Then we had, 19 was yesterday. Let's read that.
The holy, royal, and gospel priesthood for the building up of the church.
How many of you found out yesterday that you're a priest? How many of you found out? You didn't know you were a priest. They told you you're a priest. Some of you heard it before. You didn't put your hands up. But some of you found out, I'm a priest. I wonder how many of you thought, really? Us? I thought a priest was like one of those people that dress like, you know, long black, and then the thing with the collar, and I didn't know I was a priest. Actually, you are a priest, and that's not really a priest. But let's not get into that. Okay, let's read 20 and 21. That was last night. Go. Amen. Those are all the lessons that you've gone through for this whole week, for these last 8 days. Now we are up to 22. Young people for the building up of the church. Tonight we'll be on the next one, 23. Our need to serve for the building up of the church. Tomorrow morning will be the finale of all the lessons, our patterns for the building up of the church. Then we have a kind of conclusion, special word, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we'll be all together in the main hall. And then Lord's Day morning, we'll have the Lord's table. And then we won't have a message on Lord's Day morning. All of you get a chance to share what you enjoyed from the whole week. That'll be our prophesying meeting. Okay, let's now keep the lesson book handy because we are going to read in a little bit. Now we come to the outline. Let's come to the outline. And let's read Roman number 1 all together. Roman numeral number 1. Please, go.
God calling the young people from His womb.
Amen. God calling young people for His move. Okay, I'd like you to write down something. This is really the main point. This is really the main point of the whole lesson this morning. So please write this sentence. In the Bible, and throughout all of church history. Please write that. In the Bible and throughout all of church history, we see that for His move, capital H, because we're referring to God, for His move, we see that for His move, God always goes to the young people of the age. God always goes to the young people. Actually, we should say of that age. Of that age. God always goes to the young people of that age. Could you read that back to me?
In the Bible and throughout all of church history, we see that for His move, God always goes to the young people of that age.
This is something that you can see throughout the whole Bible. You may not consider, I wonder what's your thought. I wonder if you ever thought about when God created Adam, how old did he look? Did you ever think of that? When God created Adam, Ian, come. Did God create Adam looking like this? The, I mean this size. I don't mean looking like this. I don't think he created him with glasses. Curtis, could you stand up? Or did God create Adam looking like this, a mature man?
Mature?
You're a mature young man. He's a mature man. Sit down, thanks. Oh, brother. Oh, sorry, forgot your name. Yeah, no, yeah. Zhuang, Zhuang. Or here's a more mature man. So which, when God created Adam? Thank you. Don't think about it too much, because I really don't know. But I think it was more this in here, in this range, than in this range. Because he got married. You're not quite ready to get married. He got married right away. But he was probably just a few days old. So I think you can categorize that as a young man. He was young. He surely was new. Then in the whole Bible, do you know the story of Samuel? When we first meet Samuel, how old is he? Do you know? Oh, younger than 10. Huh?
Two. 5. 9.
Actually, we know him before he was born. And so we see him growing up. And the story that you're talking about too is the account in the Bible that you know his story? His mom's name is? Hannah. And Hannah didn't have children. She wanted children. She was praying. She was praying desperately. And it must have been like not just, oh Lord Jesus, but she must have been like, when I was in college, I had a roommate. He prayed real intense, like all the time. And whenever we'd sit to pray, he'd start, oh Lord Jesus. We lived with a couple, older brother. He was the elder in the church. I asked him, when I get grow in the Lord and become mature, am I going to end up like that? He said, no, don't worry about it. But my point is, sometimes you have to pray desperate over things. And I think this is how Hannah was praying. You know why? Because who was the priest? Eli. Eli said, how dare you in the temple ground and so early? Are you drunk? He thought she was drunk. She goes, oh, no, sir. I'm just praying out of desperation. And she was praying for a son. And God gave her a son. And she said, if you give me a son, I will lend him to you all the days of his life. I'll lend him. That's like another story. Why did she use the word lend? That implies a lot. Anyway, then she, of course, she nursed him. But as soon as she weaned him, that she was not nursing him anymore, she brought him to the temple and left him there as a boy. You know that story when he's sleeping? How many of you know that story? He's sleeping. And then God calls him, Samuel. And then Samuel gets up. And who does he think it is?
Eli.
So he goes to Eli, the priest. He said, yes? He said, I didn't call you. He said, oh, okay. So he goes back and he calls us. He's a boy. He's a little boy. So obedient. And again, right, to Samuel. Sam, and he goes again. Yeah.
I didn't call you.
Oh, okay. You know, God's voice, don't you think God's voice, listen to this, probably sounded like Samuel's, or like Eli's. Because, I mean, you think about, where's Anna? Where's Anna in the room? Anna. Oh, Anna. Call me. Yeah. That doesn't sound like him. You know what I mean? Like if say it again. Yes? No, I wouldn't go. I'd like Anna? Anna? Because I know her voice. We're neighbors, kind of. We live close to each other. Thanks. You know what I mean? So if God is calling, Samuel, Samuel, why would he say, yes? It must have sounded a little bit like Eli. If not, he'd say, I've been hearing voices. Girl's voice, little girl. But he didn't do that. You know what that means? God's voice may sound like your parents. And like your serving ones. Anyway, that's not the main point. But it happened again. And this time, Eli. Eli by this time, sorry, was not the sharpest spiritual man. But now he realized God's calling him. So this time, when it happens, if it happens again, you must say, you know, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So he instructed him, and God spoke to him. A little boy. A little boy. Eventually, that boy grew up, and God used him when he was older. Actually, God used him to bless all of Israel. David. Did you write down Samuel's name? Because that was an example I used. Write down the example of Samuel. Samuel. So that you remember later. And next example is David. Who knows something about David? Like the most famous thing. What did he do? He what?
He fought Goliath.
Killed Goliath. And he also fought what? A lion, a bear.
Tiger.
He did. I don't know. Not tigers. No tigers. Yeah.
He fought Saul.
He. You know what? Not exactly. But I know what you mean. Because when you read in the story, and this is very important, because he became king. David became king. And Samuel knew David. These two were connected. Samuel knew David. When Samuel was older, he anointed David as king. But Saul was still the king. And what happened was that after David killed Goliath, through the Lord. I mean, he really did it with the Lord. Then all the people were like, yeah, David! Oh, David's our hero. And King Saul got what? Jealous. He got jealous. Don't get jealous of other people's function in the body. You know, if another sister or brother gets a louder amen, just say amen. Don't get jealous. Don't think like, hey, she got more amens than I did. Then you're like Saul. So people were like, oh. And so Saul, I don't know why, it got into his heart. He wanted to kill David. So you know what? Saul fought David. But David didn't fight back. That's an important part of the story. You understand what I mean? So yeah, they were against each other, but not really. And so one time, listen, do you know this story? Saul is chasing David, wants to kill him. And so Saul gets tired. So he goes to rest. And you know where they put him to rest? They put him to, yeah, in a cave. He's in a cave with guards at the mouth of the cave. But what they didn't know was that David was all the way inside the cave with his men. And the men realized, Saul's there sleeping. They said, David, now's your chance. Like, just go. And so David, do you know what he did? Actually, he said, oh, I could not raise up my hand against the Lord's anointed. He's the anointed one. I can't do that. The men couldn't understand that attitude. You know, it says in the New Testament, David was a man after God's heart. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk much more about David. David was really special to the Lord. But you know what he did? He went over to Saul while he was sleeping. Some of you know. What did he do? Huh? Young people, what did he do? He cut off like a little corner. Like, come here. Like, he didn't do it up here. He didn't do it. He did it to the skirt, you know, the robe. And it's like he cut. Imagine if I cut this right here. Turn around so they all can see. This, I just went like this. Just that much. I didn't hurt him. I didn't kill him. I didn't like just one time just to, you know, I just cut that. Wasn't he good? You know what he did that? He did that so that later he could show Saul, look what I got. And then he'd realize, you were that close? And you didn't kill me? And that's what happened. He was like, oh, I'm so wrong. I'm so wrong, David. And he let David go. And after David left, he got mad again and he chased him. He didn't like give up. But you know what? This is what I'm going to tell you. Oh, come back. As soon as he cut, it says in the Bible, God cut him in his heart. David, when he cut that, it says, God smote, S-M-O-T-E. It's like, God, no, don't do that. Did your conscience ever bother you, like all of a sudden, amen, when you did something? Like you were just doing something and, oh, it's not bad, it's okay. And you did it and all of a sudden, oh Lord. That's the Lord in you speaking to you. To be a David today, respond to that. It doesn't mean, no, oh, David wasn't perfect at all. David wasn't perfect. Like I said, we'll talk more tomorrow. David made big mistakes. But David was still a man after God's heart. Because why? When he made mistakes, he bounced back. He repented for them. And David had a very sensitive conscience. And even he did that little thing, God told him, you shouldn't even touch the Lord's anointed. Even though like his plan was a good plan, right? It was smart. Look, Saul, I'm not against you. Look, I have this. Your men should, actually, you know what he said? All your guards should be fired. Look what I got. But God said, no, David, no. You're not getting away with it. You know what that means? In our terms, maybe you're not rebellious against your parents, but you just complain to your friend about mom and dad, the Lord will smite your heart. That's still rebellious. Even a little rebellion is rebellion. I think that's a good line. Write that one down. Even a little rebellion counts as rebellion. Then you could put, that's the example of David. The example of David. Daniel, that's the third example. I think many of us know the example of Daniel. Later in the outline talks about Daniel. When God's people got carried away to Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar came. Oh my, destroyed Jerusalem. It's really something in the whole Bible, you can see this. Especially in the Old Testament. But then in history you could see this. And in today's current events, in the news you see this. Everybody hates Jerusalem. Like all over the world, so many people hate Jerusalem. Did you know that our president, you know the story? That our president moved the embassy, the United States embassy, to Jerusalem? How many of you know this? You heard about this, or you know a little bit about this. Oh, that just happened in May. Actually, May 14th. May 14th. Because May 14th is the birthday of Israel. So he wanted to be symbolic. So they did it on that day, on May 14th. That's the May 14th, 1948 is the day that Israel was restored to be a nation. So they moved the embassy from where was it, Tel Aviv? To Jerusalem. Oh, so many nations got together and wrote something against the United States. We don't like this. Why? Because Jerusalem is God's choice.
That's right.
God loves the city of Jerusalem. Amen. Don't talk bad about Jerusalem or the Jews. There's a principle in the Bible. Don't talk bad about them. One reason the United States is a blessed country is because the United States almost always stands with Israel. Almost always. Yeah. So you stand with God's people, you get blessed. But anyway, in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took the vessels out of the temple to take them back to Babylon for idol worship. And actually, those vessels that he took out of the temple are just pictures. The real vessels were all those boys, including Daniel. Hey, Daniel. So he wanted, you know, in the story of Daniel, how many of you know the story of Daniel or you read the book of Daniel? Raise your hand. You know the story of Daniel. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar carried so many people back. But whom did he bring to his palace?
A bunch of fine young boys, including Daniel.
Yeah. Young, right? All of them young. You know that. You know what that shows us? God's not the only one who's after young people. God's enemy is after the young people. In a sense, who wins the war between God and Satan in every age depends on who wins over the young people. And in every age through history, for his move, God always wants to call young people. It doesn't mean that God doesn't like old people anymore. Mostly he does this. He calls young people. He gains them when they're young, and then he uses them when they're old. So he loves old people. But he wants young people who are gained to live long enough to be older people so that he could really use them. But I tell you, the people he can use the most are the ones he gains when they're young. Many stories in church history we could tell you. God gains people when they're young. How many of you have heard the name Watchman Nee? Raise your hand if you've heard this name. Watchman Nee. Okay, now there's another name. I used to mix them up when I first came to the church. What's the other name? Tell me. Witness Lee. I used to call him Watchman Lee and Witness Nee. I used to get them all mixed up. But it's Watchman Nee. He's the older one. And Witness Lee. And actually the names are right on your lesson book, because everything that we're learning is what from books that they wrote. Actually, not that they wrote, mostly messages they shared that were turned into books. I didn't know Brother Nee. Brother Nee actually was died in prison after 20 years, really as a martyr. Just at the time, I was 14, just at the time that I started coming to the church. I met the church, brothers and sisters in the church in Los Angeles when I was 14 years old. And that week, my first week, I contacted the church on a Friday. And that the following Thursday was the first time that I met Brother Lee. And before that week, we found out that Watchman Nee had died in prison. So I didn't know Watchman Nee. But I did get to meet Brother Lee. Brother Lee. Actually, I was under Brother Lee's ministry for 25 years. And I used to live in California and be in all the meetings when he shared. And even when I was living in New York, we would all go there for nearly every conference to hear him share. And I remember him sharing with us. I remember him sharing with us that being so happy the Lord gained him when he was young. But you know how old he was? 19. He was 19. And Washman Nee was also 19 when the Lord gained him. But the Lord's move in China at that time was all young people. Can you stop that noise, please? Thank you. All young people. And during that time in history, and actually quite a number of you, your heritage is China. I hope you would know this. I hope you would ask your parents and about your grandparents. Because you know what was happening in the early 1900s? God was working to gain a group of young people in China, and at the same time, Satan was working to gain another group of young people who would become communists and close that country to the gospel. At least try. They never could. You can't call it closed when you have, you know, a few million people. They're faithful and pursuing the Lord and living the church life. But China's fate was with the young people from 100 years ago. In every age, God always wants young people. And in this age, He wants what? No. You! Let's not just talk about young people. He wants you! 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 Every one of you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His purpose. It doesn't mean you understand everything. But it means that there's an echo in your heart. You know an echo? There's an echo. That God comes to you and says, I love you and I want you for my purpose. And you echo, I love you! And I want to be in your purpose! And I did that. I did that when I was 12. I actually got saved. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. It'll take too long. But I like telling my story. Because it's the story of God's love to me. And I got saved when I was 7. I was 7 years old. And it was at home with my sister. And it was on Friday the 13th. It's a real lucky day for me. Friday the 13th. July, Friday. You know, this last month, July, Friday 13th was in July. Like there was a July 13th on a Friday. Yeah. But that was like my 53rd spiritual birthday. If you do the math real quick, you can know it. You just figure out how old I am. But I got saved when I was 7. But I don't remember much experience of the Lord after that. Until I was baptized. Somebody here got baptized? In this room? Who got baptized? Yeah. How many of you are baptized? Baptized. Okay, hands down. How many of you got baptized here? This week. Okay. How many of you got baptized here, but before? Wow. How many of you are going to be baptized? Here? Okay. Very good. Oh, wait, are we having baptisms today? Mm-hmm. Oh. Who's getting baptized today? Oh. Very good. Wonderful. You know what happened? From the day I got baptized, my sister gave me my first Bible. Well, it wasn't my first Bible, but my first Bible was a hand-me-down, second-hand Bible. And my mom gave me a Bible so that I could go to the church meeting. But on the day of my baptism, my sister gave me my first own new Bible, in the box. I opened it, took the thing out, and then she wrote a dedication, a little short thing to me, with three verses. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Still remember it. I still have that Bible. It's in my study at my home. I don't use it because it's worn, so I don't use it too much. But I will keep that Bible. That Bible became very special to me. That Bible became kind of like my best friend. Because when I read that Bible, I got my best friend. I don't know exactly how it happened, but when I got that new Bible, maybe because just that, it was new, I just wanted to read it. I just started reading it. And that's how I got to know David in the Bible so well. Because I was really drawn to read Psalms. And the majority of Psalms were written by David. And David, one thing about David was that the way he wrote the Psalms was the way he talked to God. And he was real. And he was genuine. And if when he was sad, he writes that he was sad. When he's angry, he writes that he's angry. And then through that I learned, wow, you can tell God anything. So I did. And because I did, I was genuine. I just had the Lord's presence. I felt like I had the Lord's presence all the time. Amen. And young people, we all can do that. Amen. We all can have the Lord's presence with us all the time. That's not something for big people. Amen. And it's not that hard. It's actually quite simple. Because He is with you all the time. But you can talk to Him. When you talk to Him, then you can have fellowship with Him. And you have His presence all the time. So that happened when I was 12. I was right by my birthday. And then 6 months later, I had an experience with the Lord that was very special, very particular. We don't practice these things because in the church, what we've seen is that Christmas is actually off. That's not the Lord's birthday. But I was used to be in a denominational church. And there, they used to celebrate Christmas. And during Christmas time, we used to put on plays, or like dramas. And at that time, when I was 12, my father was not a Christian. My father was not saved. My father's a Christian today. 2 weeks ago, he celebrated his 99th birthday. So, that's 99. But at that time, he got saved when he was 69. Which is already pretty old. He's almost 70 years old. But God has given him an extra 30 years to be in the church life. Amen. And he loves the Lord. But at that time, he was not a Christian. And so I got a thought, because my whole family was praying for my father. So I got a thought. My thought was, okay, whenever I'm in a play at school, my father comes. And now we're going to have a play at church to preach the gospel. That was the reason we put on this drama. To give a kind of a setting to share. This was the point of this little play that we had. That is, Christ came to die. He was born to die for us. Yeah. And it was put on by the young people. So I was in the play. I don't remember the part I had. But I know that I was in the very, very last scene. And so this play was going to be Friday and Saturday nights. So now it's Thursday night in December, just before the so-called Christmas weekend. So it's Thursday night, and we actually had like a stage thing and all that with the curtains and all that. And I was over here. I don't know if this is stage left or right. I don't know how they do that. What is this?
It's stage.
Yeah, you don't know either. Okay, so I was behind the curtain here, ready to come on. Yeah, but right before my thing, was the most important part of the whole play, because there was a sister and a brother at a table. young people. There was one of our teenagers. And they were there. And then she was supposed to explain to him the meaning of Christmas. But this was like what we would call the punchline. Do you understand what I mean by that? This was the gospel was going to be shared. And I envisioned my father sitting there listening to this message. That's why I did this. So I'm over here waiting, and I'm looking. It wasn't this short, you know. It was over there. And then she was telling him, the Lord came. He actually was born with one mission, to die for our sins. And he died for all of our sins. And as she was saying this, actually over here, because it was the, what do you call this, the night before? When you, the dress rehearsal, yes. It was the dress rehearsal. And so I was here all alone, because all the people who finished their parts, they went and sat down because there's nobody in the audience. You understand what I mean? This, you know, this is a practice. Normally, they would just be waiting here. But because it was dress rehearsal, and because it was the end of the play, I was alone behind this curtain, watching them, waiting for my cue to come in at the end. But then something happened. As she was telling him the reason for Christ to come, it's like that message was, it was like the Lord was speaking to me. I came for one reason, for you. I was born to die for you. And I felt like if I was the only person on the whole earth, he would have done that. And I had to, maybe just like now, fight back tears, because I'm supposed to still go on and say something. And that night, it's like the Lord visited me and said, I love you. I died for you. And that night, you've heard the word consecration. How many of you have heard the word consecration before? Okay, put your hands down. I never heard this word before. So I didn't say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you. That night I said, Lord, I give you my whole life. I want to serve you for my whole life. Nothing, I don't want anything except you. Little boy, 12 years, 12 and a half. So I know that you're not too young to give your life to Christ. I know you're not too young for the Lord to be so real to you that you just say, Lord, my whole life is for you. And if you want the church, so do I. You want to build the church? If that's the only thing, then Lord, I want to build the church, and I give my whole life to build the church. Even you don't know what you're talking about. Because I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know that later the Lord would call me to serve him and to do stuff like this. I had no idea. But that's not the point. The point is, the Lord was real to me. And I gave myself to him. A year and a half later, the Lord brought me to my first church meeting. And then I found out salvation is for the church. Before that, in the denomination, I thought that if I give myself to the Lord, I should go to Bible school and be either a missionary or a pastor. That was boring. I thought that was boring because my pastor was not very inspiring. And missionary, ooh, then you got to eat everything. That'd be really tough for me. And then I came to the church and I found out God doesn't need this or that. He only cares for one thing. The apple pie. God wants his apple pie. And I want to give him the apple pie. I want to go to the groceries and buy the ingredients, and I want to get the temperature right, and I want to, what is that, whatever that's called, with the thing, and then put the fruit in it. I want to come on, and then take it out and say, Lord, here's your pie. Don't you want to do that?
Amen.
When we finish the pie, he's going to come back.
Yes.
He's coming back for his pie. This is the first time I ever said something like that. The Bible says he's coming back for the church.
Amen.
As his bride. I guess that's the pie. I got it. Mercy, Faith, I got it. I understand now. I think I understand now. Don't you want to finish the pie?
Amen.
And give it to the Lord? Throughout all the centuries and ages. That's what's been going on. That's what he's been doing. I hope you would say, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I want. Read number two on the outline. Being caught, occupied by God. That's what I'm... All these people that were in the Bible, that's what God did. He captured them. He caught them. He occupied them. Number three, purposing in our heart not to be defiled. Oh, if you want to be for God, if you want to be pure for God, you have to decide in your heart, I'm not going to let the world defile me. Maybe you should write this sentence down. Write this sentence down. If I decide to give my life to God, if I decide to give my life to God, then I must decide not to be defiled by the world. Just like it says here, defiled. D-E-F-I-L-E-D. If I decide, because if is up to you. If I decide, what did I say?
To give my life
to God, then I must decide that I will not be defiled by the world. Brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters, there's a lot of enjoyments in the world. There's a lot of pleasures in the world. You have to be careful of a few things. One is to get so occupied with things that your heart for the Lord just gets taken away. That doesn't have to be with bad things. That could be with video games. That could be with sports. There's nothing wrong with video games, or of course some of them are pretty gory and they put thoughts in you. But my point is, in principle, a game is a game. And it's alright. But you know, you can get like so occupied that's all you think about. Oh, that's not good. That affects your studies. That makes you rebellious. Because whenever mom and dad tell you to do something, you're, oh no! It's a game. That never happened to you? So then, that's one thing, being occupied. But there's a lot of pleasures in the world that, you know what? They damage your humanity. They damage your humanity. Stay away from any kind of drugs. Stay away from any kind of drugs. Stay away from alcohol. Stay away from those things. Those things will damage you. They damage your humanity. I know too many teenagers that they fell into that trap. And they want to get out. It's so difficult. So difficult. Stay away. Just make a decision. I just will not be defiled by those things. I'm for the Lord. You could do that. Let's read the next two sentences. 4 and 5. The need for companions. Praying and seeking the truth with companions. Okay, to really be for the Lord and to build His church, we need proper friends, proper companions. For this, please open your book. We'll read in the book. Roman 4. Find Roman 4 in the chapter. In my version, it's on page 273, but I have a very old version. The need for companions. What page is that on?
267.
Yeah, that one. Okay, let's start reading. Let's start reading. You all have it? Look around, make sure everybody has. Okay, brothers, read that first paragraph.
You must have such a life of fleeing and pursuing. However, when you endeavor to flee and pursue, you will find that you are not able to do so by yourself. The way to flee youthful lust and pursue Christ is in the last part of 2 Timothy 2:22. This verse says, but flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You need those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. By yourself, you are inadequate. The key is to be with those.
Sisters, next paragraph, please. Brothers, next, if we have four companions,
we will not fall, regardless of what storm may come. If one stands by himself, he will possibly be captured by the enemy. It is best for four or five young ones from junior high school to come together as companions.
Amen.
Let the young brothers be companions to one another.
Amen.
And let the young sisters be companions to one another.
Hey, Christopher. Who was that we had breakfast with? It was Ezekiel? It's you? Who else? Huh? Oh, could you? Four, come up here. Four, come up here. These are my four companions. It's good to have four companions. You know why? Because if I just have one companion and I fall this way, I just fall. Yeah. 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 He might not be fast enough. But now, if I have a companion on this side and I'm going to fall, then are you that far? You don't want to be a close companion? Oh, okay. Okay. Then I fall this way. Oh, okay. And then I fall this way. Okay, see? It's better to have two. But what if I fall this way? Oh, okay. Then I have a companion right here. That's very good. That's very good. Yeah. But there's still a problem because I might fall this way. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, there. You be my companion. Okay, see? So, if you have four companions, then whichever way you fall, Let's see. Yeah, okay. Thank you. It's safe to have more good companions. Oh, come back. Wait, I just thought of something. Come back. Yeah. You're all from Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Philly.
Oh, you're from Philly. I don't want a Philly person. I want another. Oh, yeah, come on up. Brian from South Australia.
Thank you.
But you're from Wilmington.
Yeah.
You know them already.
No, I don't know these two.
I know him.
But yeah, you used to meet Sally.
I know him.
Well, I know those two, not these two.
Okay. Let's just say he doesn't know any of them. And they're four companions. Now, let's say that our brother here lives in Australia. Yeah, let's just say. And let's say he moves from Australia to the United States, and he comes to Philadelphia. Now, we are five companions. We got a good thing going here. We encourage each other. Now, this guy moves, and when he moves here, our attitude is, hi.
Go,
amen.
Go speak to him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, nobody wants to get with him. See, listen. If we don't accept him, then this is, don't call this companionship. Call this a clique. This is not building the body. So it's not good enough just to help each other. We have to always be very welcoming. Let's be welcoming.
Welcome.
Oh, see.
Yeah. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Oh. Yeah. This one's a little reluctant over here. Yeah. Okay, go. So do you understand? We need companions, but don't make your companions a little clique. That doesn't build the body. We should love everybody. Sisters, read the next paragraph. Wait. Sorry. Are we all in the same place? Reading? Let's read. Go, sisters, go. Let's read the next paragraph all together. If five junior high students
would be grouped together as one, their school would be overthrown. If they start with five, after not long a time, perhaps 2 months, there will be 15. The preaching of the gospel in their school will be like wildfire. Even in the college age, remaining saints need companions. They need to work together, live together, and have their daily walk together. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If one person has four companions, the five of them will even be a fivefold cord. Nothing can break this cord. The gospel preaching of these five will be prevailing. They will subdue people. Their grouping together will convince people.
Then the first two sentences, next one. Do not have companions in a loose way. Do not take a brother as a companion because you like him, and tomorrow reject him because you do not like him. Next paragraph, the last one. The young people must look to the Lord to get four or five companions. Even the people in the world say that union is power. By myself, I would not dare to do many things. But when I have four companions, I would dare to do anything. This afternoon, in your group session, I would like you to read section 5, the next session. And that is, what do you do when you get together with your companions? And serving saints, I hope you would ask the saints in your group, do they have companions? Some may be alone in their church. They may be the only junior hire. What can they do? Well, it's easy. We have FaceTime. We have all sorts of things that we can have, like video meetings, virtual meetings. Five states can have a, a group fellowship. Don't move around so much yet. We're not done. I know it's lunchtime. I set the schedule. So hold on. Hold on. We're not done yet. We're not done. We're not done because we didn't pray. So let's pray. But let's pray this way. Not two by two. I want you to pray out loud. Do you do this sometimes? Yeah. Just pray out loud, just one sentence. Out loud, one sentence. Whatever's on your heart or touched you or that you remember. Let's call the Lord's name together and then just pray something to the Lord. Then we'll have the announcements. Amen. Amen.